Let's take our Bibles this morning, if you could, and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking at a few verses there in Luke 2. Well, how many of you got all your Christmas shopping done? Been asking you that for a few weeks. All right, praise the Lord. Some of you are done. I thought we were done, but I don't know. Yesterday we went shopping and helping my wife, actually just accompanying her. But we'd be finished one store, and I think, oh, praise the Lord, we're going home. Not. All right. Hey, one more thing. Hey, why don't we go over here? Okay. So, but we got a lot done, so praise the Lord for that. Amen. And so I'm grateful. Well, let's look at this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 2 this morning. I want to share just a little bit with you from that. But are there things, and just kind of introduction here, are there things in our lives that oftentimes we just do not understand? We do not understand what the Lord is doing. We do not understand what's happening. We do not understand things in life. For example, an orphanage. I don't understand why God, allows some children to lose both of their parents. I don't understand that. I don't understand the whole idea and the whole concept of being raised in an orphanage. I can't relate to that. And yet that's a very common thing in other parts of the world. And another thing, I don't understand cancer. I don't understand a disease and how cancer can just take over a person's body and be so destructive and just so hard to go through. I can't understand that. I can't understand sometimes tragedies that we hear about in the news. You know, I think it's been recently that there was a couple of bus accidents, but one, you know, it was just young kids going to a camp and there was a bus accident and overturned and kids were killed and hurt and injured for life. I don't understand that. I don't understand why necessarily those events happen. I don't understand storms, you know. We've had tornadoes. You think about the tornado. It just came through and hit Taylorville. I don't understand those things. I think of back a few years ago when the tornado went through Joplin and basically wiped out the city of Joplin. And I don't understand. You hear of it wiping out an entire community and killing several people. I don't understand why those things have to happen. I don't understand birth defects. Why some people are born with a blind, or they're born and they cannot hear. I don't understand why some folks are born with a no hand, or I know a guy that I went to camp with back at home. He was born with no arms, and we just listened to the fella at the PRC, the Pregnancy Resource Center, speak, and born with no arms, and his legs were even deformed and so forth. But look at how God is using him and his testimony around the country and around the world. And so I don't understand all of these things. And we may say, well, why? Why don't we understand this? Or why does God do these things that seem so foreign to us? They seem so, to us, they seem cruel. I think of John chapter 9 when they were coming and they were asking the blind man, Jesus, who sinned? He or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither, but he was born blind so that the Father might receive glory. And so that's really the ultimate. That's the answer in some ways of why some of these things happen. And also we're living in a sin-depraved, sin-broken world. But there's many things that we do not understand. I go to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and I share a verse with you. It says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things, they belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Deuteronomy tells us There are things that we do not know. There are things that God has not chosen to give us an answer to. But he says this, what we do know is he's given us this book. He's given us the law. He's given us these things, and these are ours forever, and they're our children's. And so it is our duty and our responsibility that we take that in and that we're obedient to it and that we train up our children and we raise our children to follow in God's law. And so God oftentimes does things that they don't make sense to us. But God doesn't explain everything to us. There are things that only God knows, and there are things that we know, and we're accountable for the things that we do know. Now, God can take, and this is what we'll see in this passage this morning, God can use politicians. Really? God can use politicians and, hold on, he can use taxes. God can use politicians and taxes, and for me, that was a struggle to get my mind around that. But I want you to go to Luke chapter 2, and part of the Christmas story, I want us to read the first 7 verses. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree, it went out from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be registered or taxed," some of your Bibles will say. This census, it first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also, he went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was born of the house and the lineage of David. That's very important. Verse number 5, to be registered. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I want us to look at this just a little closer and pull out some things that I think we can learn from this. First of all, Caesar Augustus, he began to reign in 27 BC. Now, Augustus died at the age of 76, and Herod the Great, who we talked about a lot last week, he was an evil man. He was a jealous man. He was a suspicious man. I mean, he killed his family, his wife, his children. He killed other people just so he could have a funeral in the streets for the people mourning. Even though they were not mourning for him, they were mourning for these leaders in their community. But that's the kind of man he was. And the Bible tells us that Herod, he began, he began to reign, history tells us, that Herod the Great began to reign in 4 BC. So between these two stories, between this idea of Caesar Augustus and his issuing the decree for the census to be taken, and we see that Joseph and Mary, they go to Bethlehem, we see that event take place. Then, as we saw last week, Herod the Great was destroying the children 2 years old and under, all the male children in Bethlehem, because he was afraid that one of them was the newborn king of the Jews. So it's believed here what has happened is that Herod the Great, when he began to reign in 4 BC, it is most likely that Jesus was born in probably 5 or 6 BC. Because he was born when Caesar Augustus issued the decree for them to go, and they went to Bethlehem. And then we see later when the wise men came, and remember I showed you that it could have been at least a year or longer for the wise men, the Magi, to get there because they traveled over 800 miles to get there. And so Augustus here, he was making, if you would, he was making his decrees in this passage of Scripture that we see. But look what was happening. Augustus was unknowingly obeying the King of Kings. He didn't even realize what he was doing. But yet he was fulfilling prophecy. He was being used by God to carry out God's purposes and God's plan. God used this prince, if you would, to get the Prince of Peace to Bethlehem. So God can use even the most heinous person in order to accomplish his will. He can work and move in that way. And he moves and works in that way according to their will. God never violated the will of Caesar Augustus or Herod the Great. He never violated even the personal will of Judas Iscariot. But yet all of those people betrayed and were orchestrated, and they, in their will, ended up carrying out unknowingly the perfect will of God. It is amazing that God uses and he can do these things. He uses the Roman and he uses a Roman emperor to actually fulfill Micah 5:2 that tells us that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. So 700 years before this, Micah tells us that the Messiah would be born in the city of Bethlehem. And then through the decree of Caesar Augustus and through all of these events, that is fulfilled. And so Augustus' aim was to fill his coffers, if you would, by this taxation and this census. It was a way for him to get more money from the people. It was a way for him to fill his coffers, if you would. But it was God's way. And it was God who used this not to fill any coffers, but to fulfill his promises. God was using even these things to fulfill his promises to mankind, to send the Savior that we all need. Well, He chose the womb. God chose the very womb, and he chose the village in which Messiah would be born. God's ways are oftentimes, they're hard. Like I said with some of the things at the beginning, we do not understand those things. Those things are hard. If you have had to experience some of those things, you've had to experience cancer, or you've had to experience losing a loved one to cancer, or you've had to experience a death unexpectedly. All of those things are very, very difficult, and they're very hard. And we cannot understand it unless we've been there, unless you've gone through that. Now, God's wisdom, you know, is not like ours. God's wisdom, it overrules man's efforts, if you would. God, in Genesis 50 and verse 20, Josh was teaching on it this morning, perfect lesson. Joseph was sold by his brothers into bondage. And yet God did all of that for his glory ultimately. Genesis 50, 20, Joseph ends up meeting his brothers. They're in need, But God, even years ago, allowing them to sell him into slavery, got Joseph to the right place. He was second in command in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh, in order that he would be able to be the one that would supply food to the rest of his family, his brothers. And when they come face to face, his brothers are scared because of what they had done. And Joseph tells them, don't be afraid. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You see, God is working in circumstances and things all around us all the time that we do not understand and we cannot comprehend. He works in ways that we just do not understand. Isaiah 55, let me read a few verses. Isaiah 55, verse number 8 is an awesome verse. And it says, for my thoughts, that is God's thoughts, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Do you understand that? From the crust of the earth to as far as the heavens go, that is how far different God's ways are from ours. God is working on a whole different plane than you and I are. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word is true. And when we look at these prophecies that we looked at last week with Herod the Great and this prophecy of Christ and where he was born and how he was going to go to Egypt and on the prophecies that we see, is so evident, and these things are documented by historians, Josephus and others. But God uses circumstances in our lives. He's using, He's using even our president. He's using other leaders. He's using world leaders all over the globe, and they don't even know it, to get his will accomplished. Well, I want to give you some lessons, and I want to go through these, and I won't spend a lot of time on each one, but these are nuggets, if you would, that I gleaned from this happening here, what's going on. First of all, I want you to see this, if you want to jot this down. It is external circumstances are something, but not everything. I want you to understand that things that happen to us and around us, yeah, they're something. They're happening. They're real. But they're not everything. God used a poll tax, if you would, to get Joseph and Mary where he wanted them to be. God was directing. He was directing men according to their will to accomplish his will. Isn't that amazing? God can do that. Many times God uses our actions to, if you would, bring about things that we never even intended. There's times that we've done things that ended up resulting in something even greater or better than we thought. We never intended for that. But God used that in his will and his way. I don't know if you've ever made a mistake and done something and it turned out better, right? Usually it goes the other way. But I've made mistakes before and it's like, oh, well, yeah, that's a good idea. Glad I came up with that. But it turns out good. Look at another thing. This is super important because this is probably the most important thing in your life, and that is your spiritual growth. I call it internal growth here, but really what I mean by that is your spiritual growth and your character. Internal growth is most important. That's the most important thing in your life, is that you are preparing yourself right now to meet your Maker. My sister texted me this week. Friday was her birthday, and I said, I hope you have a great birthday, and she said she's hoping to find two lobsters when she went grocery shopping. And later she texted me a picture of the two lobsters, and she said they're about to meet their Maker. So, well, there you go. But our internal growth is the most important thing, because one day we will all meet the Lord. And we're going to stand before Him, and we're going to give an account for what we did with Jesus Christ, whether we received Him as our Lord and Savior or not. But internal growth is the most important thing. Your life here, whether God gives you 100 years, doesn't really matter. Your life here is to prepare you for the life to come. Well, it is most important, but I want you to see this. External things, circumstances, things around us, they are necessary to grow us. You see, we grow the most when we're going through the toughest time. You see, when all is going great and everything is wonderful, we don't grow that much. It is actually when God stretches us. And He stretches us sometimes, He stretches us hard. But that's when the growth takes place. You think of athletes, that's when they grow. That's when they get stronger, is when their muscles are stretched and they go in the gym and they work out and their muscles are sore. No pain, no gain, right? Some of you forgot all about that. But God grows us. And He grows us inside by working on us through things that happen on the outside. And external things are their memorials. Joshua laid the stones along the Jordan as they crossed it. That was a memorial. Think about our capital, Washington, D.C. Look at all the memorials and things that we have. We are blessed by a nation, and we have scriptures on all kinds of places. Of course, everybody's fighting to get it off, and they're taking down statues and different things everywhere and monuments and so forth. But you know, all of those things are memorials, they're reminders. Well, look at another thing. Difficult circumstances cannot be the reason for not obeying. Difficult circumstances cannot be the reason for not obeying. And I give you one example, and it's a Christmas example. Joseph and Mary. God chooses Mary to have this child. They are betrothed, but they are not wed together. That creates a whole lot of circumstances and hubbub in the community. But look what happened when Caesar Augustus made the decree that all the world should be registered. What did Joseph and Mary do? They go from Nazareth. They immediately, the Bible doesn't say they waited a while. No, it says they made haste, that they quickly went. Now, Mary, if she gives birth to Jesus while they're in Bethlehem for this census, that tells me that she's pretty far along. And now she's going to ride a donkey. Right? She's going to ride a donkey and give birth. That was not an easy job that they were to do. But Joseph and Mary, they did it. You see, Joseph and Mary, they traveled, and you know, it was probably a 4-day journey for them to go. Obedience is oftentimes difficult, but God grows us. We must not use difficulty for a reason not to do what God says. We must not use difficulty for a reason to not obey what God commands us to do. And those are some of the thoughts that I have gleaned from that passage. I'm going to ask the musicians to come if they would. And I want to share with you just a couple of thoughts as they come. Church, listen to me. God is always, He's always at work. There's never a time in your life when God is not working around you and in you. He's always at work. He's always carrying out His plan, His desire for you. Some of you, God is doing things in your life that you don't even realize and you don't even know, because God is, He's wanting you to come to Him in salvation. He's wanting you to be saved. Some of you, God has done things. You know, I love listening to people's stories. And yesterday at the wedding reception, I heard a story about how a couple met. And it was, I love to hear that stuff, how God is working and doing, and how couples end up together, and all of the things that God is doing. God may be working in your life right now, and you don't even know it. But He's bringing you to the point where He's like, you need to be saved. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it over and over again. Maybe you never intended to ever go to church, but here you are. That is no accident. He is doing and has done things that you and I don't even ever even understand. And we will ask why. And you know, some questions of why will never be answered until we get to heaven and we can ask the Lord. And we oftentimes we look back and we see why. God says, just obey. Just obey and trust me. Don't worry about all the circumstances. Just trust me and obey me. Real quick story, we've seen it on the news before, but apartment building on fire, burning, and people coming to the windows to get out, to be rescued. And I read a story one time of this family, they're trapped in there, and the firemen are below, and they have a net to catch them. And they haul her up, and they say, the building's on fire, jump, come, jump. We'll catch you. And people will cry back and they'll say, I can't see the smoke. I can't see. My eyes are burning. I can't see. And the firemen will look back at them and they'll say, but we can see you. Christians, listen to me. Lost, listen to me. You may not see what God is doing. You may not see how God is working and moving in your life. And God just says, I know you can't see me. I know you can't see what I'm doing. But just trust me. Just trust me. By faith, obey me. Just trust me. My friend, that's the challenge that I get from this. So I don't know what God's doing all the time, but I know He's at work. And if He's at work in your life, I trust and I pray that you will obey Him. Even if it's hard, obey Him. Would you stand with me, please, this morning? Father, as we come before You today, I thank You, Lord, for the day that You have given to us. I thank You for Your word. Lord, sometimes these things are very difficult. They're hard. But Lord, I pray that when we see You working in our lives, that we will surrender, that we will yield, and that even if it's difficult, we will obey You. Lord, I pray that You would help us to obey. Lord, I pray for those that might be here this morning that do not know You as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they've been delaying and putting it off. I pray that today that they might yield and come and receive you as Lord and Savior, that we might be able to take them to a prayer room and pray with them and show them how they can know Christ. Lord, I pray that there would be no one in the sound of this my voice in this room that would go to hell because they rejected Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to receive you today. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.